And would you take God's word this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6, and we'll be looking this morning at verse 30 through verse number 44. Mark, chapter 6, verse 30 through verse number 44. I want you to follow along as I read this morning, starting at verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Because you see, the Lord Jesus often would train his men, and then he would send them out and to heal or to teach. And we find that they come back and they tell Jesus what had transpired. Verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest of while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves that were about 5,000 men. It is often said that we are needy people. If I took the time this morning to allow you to express the needs that you have in your life, we would hear many kinds of needs that are represented just in this congregation this morning. So it is true that we are a needy people because the human race is under the curse of sin and death, which stems from the fall. We are all desperately needy people. Every one of us is fragile. We are just a heartbeat away from eternity. With that in mind, think about this then. Do you believe that God is able to meet the needs that you have in your life? Is he able to meet the needs that you have? During an especially trying time in the work of the China Inland Mission years ago, Hudson Taylor wrote to his wife, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. Yes, they were a needy people. Humanly speaking, they didn't have a lot. But he said, we have all the promises of God, and God has promised to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So as you keep your place here this morning, I want to preach a message this morning entitled, God Will Provide. No matter what need you face in your life, be it physical, be it a material need, be it a financial need, a family need, whatever that need is in your life, I want you to leave believing, if you don't already believe, that God will provide for your needs. Notice with me in the context that Jesus meets a very massive crowd of individuals. We find in verse number 33 that the people saw them departing because Jesus and his disciples were trying to get away from the crowd. The disciples have just been charged by the Lord Jesus, come apart and rest a while. You've been doing ministry. It's been heavy duty. And so you just need to come apart and rest a while. And so that's what Jesus intended for these men to do. And so we find in the context that they depart into a desert by a ship privately. And the people watch this happening. And so they want to continue to, one, be with Jesus, be with the apostles for various reasons. They, in fact, the Bible says in verse number 33 that they are running literally on foot out of all the cities and outwent them and came together unto them. So they went from the crowd to being a little bit alone to being right back into the crowd again. And so they didn't get much time to rest, but Jesus noted that this was a great assembly of people. And he noticed something about them in verse number 33, that they were an anxious people. He saw them as, in verse number 34, as sheep having no shepherd. So they're anxious. They're desperate kind of people. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he says that there were at least assembled 5,000 men beside the women and children. So we have at least probably 10,000 people that are gathered together. And so when Jesus then sees these people assembled, he sees this massive crowd, and you can follow in the other gospel accounts and realize that Jesus, as he assembled them, as they came together, he taught them. And so now it is time for this crowd to disperse, or at least that's what the disciples thought. And so that's where we come now to verse number 35, and we see that when now the day is coming pretty close to an end, in verse 35, that one of them says that this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. And so these meager disciples, when they are assembled with this great crowd of people, they give three suggestions to Jesus. One of them says, let's send them away. I mean, after all, this is a huge crowd of people. Let's send them away, if you would, before night is upon us, so they can get back to where they need to be and they can provide for their own needs and so forth. And so that is one suggestion. Another suggestion you'll find in the context was, let's raise money to buy food. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, not necessarily raise money, but notice verse 37. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So that's what Philip thought. In fact, in John chapter 6, Philip said this, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, again, we don't go around and talking penny worth today. But in that day, what that simply meant, that was like 200 days' wages just for the bread. And Philip says, you know, that's just simply not enough to provide for the needs of all of these people. And too often, we can think as well that the way my needs can simply be met is if I just have more money. That is the solution to some people for everything. If I just have money, then that's going to provide for my needs. Well, that's how Philip thought. Is 200 penny worth of bread going to be enough? We don't have enough money, Jesus, so send them away. We don't have enough food. Send them away. And so Philip saw the multitude and he forgot the Lord. He saw the enormity of the challenge and said, we can't do this. And he was right. They could not, but they had one among them that could. How many times had they already seen Jesus do great and mighty things? How many times themselves had they already experienced being able to be empowered by the Lord to go out, do healings, and so forth, do some great things, and they come back and they're just rejoicing that even the spirits or the demons are subject unto them. And Jesus says, men, don't rejoice about that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So these men had experienced many times the hand of the Lord. They had seen some great victories. But here they are again up against a challenge, and Philip in particular saw the multitude, but he forgot the Lord. But then there was a third suggestion. Hey, there's a lad here. In fact, Andrew said in John's gospel, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? There's this poor boy here, and he's got 5 loaves, barley bread, which in that day was the equivalent of a poor man's bread. That's what he has. But what are they among so many? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. How in the world is that going to provide the need for these 10,000 plus people? Now, how many of you would probably be right where the disciples are at this time? Think I would be. Because we have a tendency, even though we're saved by faith, we have such a tendency to walk by what? Sight. Not by faith. The Bible says that we do walk by faith, not by sight. But so many times in our life, we do struggle living by faith. Because we see the enormity of the challenge in front of us. These men see the enormity of the crowd. There's just no way. Yeah, there is a lad here, but what he has, it's really not going to do much. And so Andrew had looked at the little, and he had, and disregarded it because it looked small compared to his big problem. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place in your life when you think, man, I don't have much. It's so little, and what is it in comparison to the big problem I have in my life? That's where these men were. So just simply send them away. But notice verse 37. Beginning of verse number 37, we see how Jesus, though he listened to, quote, their suggestions, if they were even offered that way, but he listened to what they had to say, and so Jesus goes to action. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And then in verse number 38, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And then in verse 39, Jesus says, now you command all these people to sit down. They've been standing, now have them sit down by ranks. And we find in the context that they sat down by hundreds and by fifties. And Jesus then, in verse number 41 through verse number 44, takes those 5 loaves and those 2 small fishes. And he does a great miracle, not only in the eyes of the disciples, but also in the eyes of all of those people. Think about that. Sometimes we'll, so to speak, beat up the disciples. Where was their faith and so forth? But think about the crowd of people watching Jesus do this great miracle in front of their eyes, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and he feeds them all. Not only does he feed them all, if you remember in another gospel account, that they had fragments, and this count says it as well, fragments that remained, 12 baskets, 1 for every disciple. So Jesus does a great miracle in front of their eyes, because the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In our great need, we can lay hold of God's mighty power through faith. And here was a great need. And Jesus was not about to send these people away and let them go back into their cities and fend for themselves. No, he was going to meet the need. And he does it in a miraculous fashion. So with all of this in mind, I want you to notice some points of application for us. Like the lad, whenever there is a need in your life, give all that you have to Jesus and let him do the rest. That's what the lad did. Think about that. That barley bread was a poor man's bread, so to have five loaves of that was very precious, very significant to that lad and his family, and two small fishes. I wonder really how small the fishes were. Not to dwell on that, but think about that. You ever get around a group of men that go fishing? And they tell you how big their fish are? Know what I mean? Yeah, I think it was about that big. I don't know how big these fish were, other than the Bible says that they were two small fishes. Very significant to the lad. Very significant to him. But yet we find that we can just be like the lad, that whenever there is a need in our life, give all that we have to him and let him do the rest. There was a woman who was known for her deep trust and calmness of soul, and she was asked by a person who wanted to learn her secret. And she was asked, "Are you the woman with the great faith?" She said, "No, I am the woman with little faith in the great God." And that's how we need to be. Sometimes our faith is weak, sometimes our faith is little, but may it ever be placed in a great God, a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The second thing I want you to notice is that we need to learn, like Andrew did, that when you take the insignificant and place it into the hands of God, he makes it significant. Think about this. Five loaves, two fish. Insignificant in comparison to the crowd. Right? Insignificant. Just no way this is going to really work. But like Andrew, we have to take that which is insignificant and place it in the hands of God, and he will make something significant out of it. Amy Carmichael, a missionary who is now with the Lord, but she told her workers that were helping her, "When you are facing the impossible, you can count on the God of the impossible." And how many of you would say amen to that? Yeah. That when you are facing the impossible, you can count on the God of the impossible. And we find that here in this context, Andrew, okay, here you go, Lord. I'd like to really see what you're going to do with this. And he does something great through it. But it took a moment where Andrew just places it in the hand of the Lord. And sometimes when we run into situations in our life and we face some needs in our life, that we have to do the same, that we just turn that over to the Lord and trust fully in him. That's what Andrew does. There was a pastor, 1912, by the name of Dr. Russell Conwell. He was pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And he had a young student in his Sunday school class named Hattie Mae Wyatt. The church was crowded, and one day Dr. Conwell told Hattie Mae that he would love to have buildings large enough for everyone to attend. When Hattie became ill and died, Pastor Conwell was asked to preach the little girl's funeral. The girl's mother told him that Hattie Mae had been saving her money to help build a bigger church. Hattie's purse contained coins amounting to 57 cents. Taking the coins to the bank, the pastor exchanged them for 57 pennies, which he put on display and, quote, sold. With the proceeds, a nearby house was purchased for a children's wing for the church. Inspired by Hattie's store, more money came in, and out of her 57 cents eventually came the buildings of Temple Baptist Church, Temple University, and the Good Samaritan Hospital. just 57 cents. But God can take the little and make much. If our missionaries were standing before you this morning, and we've had a few of them in throughout this year, they could tell you that they continue to learn. I just read one this morning of Andy Schultz serving in Zambia and talking about the challenges there and how they continue after having been there for many years, how God continues to provide for their needs and they face them and the challenges that they have. They just got mail from the U.S. that was sent in the month of May. He says they get their Christmas cards also in the month of April. So think of that. And then he wrote later in the letter that he sent out saying that Zambia will no longer be doing international mail except to the UK. So how they as a missionary are going to have to be totally dependent as far as, quote, mail, it's going to have to be email, which they've been doing anyway. But now that's even become more of a reality to them. So things that you and I wouldn't even think twice about, we can just go out today and drop a bill or a letter in the mail. But not for them. To you and I, that may seem like a very insignificant thing. But you see, we face needs in our life, and as we face needs in our life, God can take that which is insignificant to us and make something significant out of it. But notice, thirdly, keep your heart tender toward the needs of others and be an available vessel to meet the need. There is a lad here. Think about how this would be a moment this lad would never forget. When you talk about a fish story, he goes into the house, mom asks, hey, where's the fish? Where's the bread? I gave it to Jesus, and you should have seen what he did with it. He kept breaking piece after piece after piece, and man, everybody was not only had a little bite, everybody was full. Now, I don't know how many plates it takes you to get full. This past week, I watched one of my son-in-laws eat. I thought he was done, so I put the food away. Next thing I know, he's back in the refrigerator pulling out what I had put away. He says, have you tasted what this dish? I said, no, not yet. And the way you're eating, I don't think I'm going to be able to. But I think about how the Bible says they not only had a bite, but the Bible uses the word they were filled. That's just like God, isn't it? That's just like God to do that. How he can take again a little boy and just use him. And this boy goes home and saw something that day he would never, ever forget. Sometimes we can have a tendency to think in our life, who am I? I'm just a simple, ordinary, common person. How can God use me? Here was a young boy who just said, here you go. Use it. Feed this group. And God does. What an amazing thing. So the challenge to us is just stay available. And stay surrendered in our life daily and say, Lord, I yield to you. I yield to you. I'm going to yield to you. Use me for your glory. But then notice this fourth point. You will find in John chapter 6 at the conclusion of all of this that in John chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. How many of you understand, those of you that know your Bibles fairly well, that God is all about making sure the glory goes to him? I mean, the disciples weren't going to walk away and say, man, look what we did. No. The 10,000 plus people weren't going to walk away and say, my, man, look what we did. They were just the recipients of it. Nobody in that whole account could walk away and say, look what we did. But yet the men that were there and had seen the miracle and what Jesus did said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And so here is the fourth point, that when God provides your needs, this is so simple, but something often overlooked in our life, be quick to give God praise. Be quick to give God the praise. Be quick to give Him the glory for how He has provided for your needs. And I think about how Satan would love us to pat ourselves on the back and to think, man, look what I did. No, it's always, look what He did. From time to time, I get to hear of testimonies of people who were clearly diagnosed with cancer. X-rays showed it, everything showed it, doctors gave the diagnosis, and the person followed up again and was told by the doctors, as he's scratching his head, we don't quite understand this. The X-rays prior shows, and all the tests show that you have cancer, but now it's not there. All glory to God. Amen? Because He is the God who heals. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So this morning in your life, I don't know what the need is that you're facing. It might be a physical challenge. It might be financial. It may be this morning some spiritual need in your life. But this I know, God will provide in some way or other. He will provide. Do you believe that? I think about how at times people struggle in obeying God in the area of the tithe. And I hear people say, I can't afford to do it. And I say, you can't afford not to do it. You obey God, and here's what God promised. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Here's what He promised in the Old Testament. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that thy house may be full. Here's what He promised in Proverbs. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all that increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. What's God telling us? He's not saying, if you honor me with your money, I'm going to make you rich. But He is saying this, if you honor me just in that area of your life, He says, I will provide your needs. It's interesting, as I get involved in new Christians' lives and come alongside and teach them Bible truths, when it gets to this particular topic, I can't do that, Pastor. Yes, you can. And to see them step out on faith and begin to honor God with their tithe, they are so excited. Seriously, I can't think of one new Christian that I've had the privilege of coming alongside them and help them grow in Bible truths, that when they get to this one, they begin to practice and obey God in this area, that there is a joy, there's an excitement there. Not because God blessed them with a boatload of money, but God just showed them, if you have needs in your life, and particularly if it's in the area of finances, if you will honor me, I will honor you. Now don't raise your hand. Just simply say amen. How many of us here this morning have learned that if you obey God just in that area, God will provide your needs. Amen? God does. I mean, I don't stand before you as rich monetarily, but I'm rich in the blessings of the Lord because I have seen God over and over and over again provide our needs. And I will tell you that as the Lord here in this context showed himself so strong to the disciples and that great crowd of people, he's your God today. And he wants to meet the needs that you have in your life. He is known in the Old Testament as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. I love the context of that. Abraham, about ready to sacrifice his son. And he tells his son, when Isaac asks, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" "God will provide." And by faith, Abraham believed that. And by faith, he saw that come to pass. God had provided a ram instead of Isaac to be sacrificed. And this morning, God will provide your need. Trust him. Believe in him. Just as these disciples would continue to learn on their journey with Jesus, that it's important to live for the Lord by faith, by faith, by faith. I look over here to my left and I see Sister Carol, and I think about how that many of us in this church family have been praying with her. And just because she has a lot more vested, I'm sure she's probably prayed more hours than we ever have. It's not a contest, but my point is, we pray that God would provide the funds, the availability to have an ultrasound machine, and, because you can have the machine, but you have no one that can run it, what good is it, right? So God provide both. Now, in her time, in his time. I know we all like it when God answers our prayers and provides for us right away. But how many of you understand this morning that there are times you might wait a few years? Just by show of hands, how many of you have an unsaved individual you are praying for that you've been praying for years to be saved? Yeah, my hand's right up there with you. And they're still not saved. And we're praying and trusting God that they will come to know him as Savior. I'm telling you that God will provide your needs. Will you trust him today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. As you have heard this message this morning, one, for many of us, we're very familiar with the account. We've heard it many, many times. We've read it many times. But how many times do we find ourselves as we read the account, just like the disciples, send them away, we don't have enough, and so forth. And I wonder this morning, there'd be those here that say, "Pastor, in my life, currently I am facing some needs." Now again, we all have needs, but I mean, these needs are big in your life. And I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, "Pastor, I know God will provide, but my faith is weak. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning that I will grow in my faith and trust and believe God to provide my needs. My faith is weak, but I would that you remember me in prayer this morning that God would increase my faith." If that's your need this morning, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others this morning? I'm facing some needs in my life right now. They're big. And I would that you remember me in prayer that I will not grow weak in faith, but I will grow stronger in faith in God. Anybody else while we wait? Just lift your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else while we wait? And now, Father, you have seen the hands of these dear individuals. You know what the needs are that they're facing. And I'm so thankful that you do. You know our down-sitting, our uprising. You know our thoughts afar off. You know everything about us, so our needs in our life don't catch you by surprise. They many times catch us by surprise, but nonetheless, Father, whatever those needs are in their life, may you just increase their faith. Would you strengthen their faith? May they themselves this week be drawing near to you through your word, which will strengthen their faith and help them to wait upon you. That's so hard sometimes, Father, for us. We are human and we want things now. But you have many lessons sometimes for us to learn in that waiting process. And so, Father, help them to grow in faith as they are waiting for you to provide the needs in their life. And that when it's all said and done, that they will be very quick to give you the praise and the glory for it. And Father, I thank you for this challenge this morning to help us to go forth from this place believing and trusting that in some way or other the Lord will provide, because you will. In Jesus' name, amen.